we get advice from the legal team on the way that this meeting is conducted.
Honorable Mayor, thank you, but let me clarify you. This bill is not for the first time. The department presented this bill last time, and we sent this bill to the provinces. I hope the provinces is not for the first time they see this bill. They have discussed this bill on their own. That's why today we meet all of us, 9 provinces plus us. It's not for the first time, Honorable Smith. And even yourself, you know very well, before we close in the last quarter, we have discussed this bill. And we said this bill to this term. This is not for the first time the provinces and us see this bill. It's not for the first time. So I'm really disappointed from you.
Honorable Chair.
Can we start our meeting, Honorable Chair, we'll discuss after the presentation.
No, Honorable Chair, on a point of order, we can't continue with a illegitimate process. We need to do this correctly. It's irrelevant whether we've discussed this bill in the previous term or not. The matter of the fact is we are a constitutional body bound the constitution and how process is supposed to be. And this, the way that this legislative process is run now is not legit according to my knowledge. I would really insist that we have the legal team come back with a response on exactly what the legislative process is, because we are going to get in trouble as a legislative body with the end of the day on the way that we conduct. The Mimosa judgment already were against the NCOP and the process that was followed before. I would really advise you not to be disappointed in me, but rather to take my advice, because I'm trying to assist.
Thank you very much, Chair. I the point that is raised by Honorable, we might not dismiss it as it is. He's saying we need a legal advice. He's not saying we must not continue with the meeting. The meeting must continue. He's raising a point to say, let's bear if the constitution of this meeting is constitutional. So we put it as it is. We know the issue that he has raised, but we'll continue with the meeting. That's the input that I'm making, so that we don't waste time discussing what is right, what is wrong. We have got legal advices from the parliament who can be able to deal with any matter that is related to that. Thank you,
Honorable Matibe. The last person is Honorable Kosana. Yes, we'll be the last person from the department.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. We acknowledge the concern of Honorable Mose, but what we can say, Chairperson, we are a unitary state, we are not a federal state. As we are discussing this, we'll be listening from the presentation of the Deputy Minister, all of us. Then for finality, we're still going to deal with it in our ministerial province and you at national level. There is no harm on that. If there is any need for legal advice, I should think that legal advice will come in, but we continue with the discussion. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Honorable Kosana. Honorable members, I put the agenda in front of you. It's open and welcome. Apologies. Presentation from the department and discussion. Closure. The last, the fifth one is the closure. Anyone who knew the, or who wanted to add or subtract from the agenda?
Yes, Chairperson. If you can give me an opportunity.
Member Makavusi's apology just been noted in the minutes for the next meeting. Mother passed away, so thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Arnold. I was about to tell the members about passing away of Honourable Makauta's mother. Accepted. Any other apology?
There is an apology of MEC Sean Mpumalanga, who is unable to attend this important meeting.
Honorable Sean from Mpumalanga, MEC. Any apology?
Yes, Chair. I have an apology for the minister who is attending a cabinet committee today.
Northern Cape. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The Chairperson of the Polo Committee or at Northern Cape is going to join the meeting a little bit later, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you.
Chairperson, Salga.
Salga.
Yes. No, Chairperson, it's Councillor Tungwani, yes.
You're welcome.
Yes, can you recognize Salga? Is observing the meeting?
Thank you very much. I omitted. Honorable Councillor Tongwani from Salga.
Honorable Chairperson, Kosana.
Honorable Kosana.
Honorable Chairperson, the honorable member from DA has objected our agenda. But we didn't hear the question of why he should, in fact, object the agenda. Can you finish with that so that we continue with our meeting?
No, we are continuing with the meeting because there's no agenda from that one, and we cannot discuss.
Honorable Chair, point of order. Honorable Chair, point of order. You didn't give me opportunity to finish, as the member just said. If I can finish, then there's a possibility that somebody can second my view. Let me finish first, please. Can I finish? Honorable Chair, can I finish? Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I object on...
With 1 second, because we don't have time to discuss the apology. We have that matter of the apology, agenda. We are in another item,
Honorable Chair, point of order, you cannot operate like this. Honorable Chair, I agree, but you cannot operate like this. There was an objection. You didn't want to hear the objection. You can't have just two members agreeing to an agenda and then automatically throw out any objecting view. You have to hear me out on my objecting view. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, can you not go back, Pillay? Honorable Pillay.
Yes. Honorable member? Yes.
I'm saying the Honorable Smith is saying that this is the first time this kind of a situation has arrived. We never had a video conferencing. So there is nothing wrong and you have already ruled on this matter. Let's proceed to me. Thank you.
Chairperson.
Honorable
Cathy. Chair, I can just say to you, I've been in the Fifth Parliament. The forestry bill has been referred to the selective in the first parliament. Due to the number of bills that we dealt with in that stage, it was a total bottleneck of bills. The committee decided that we will not be able to deal with the forestry bill in the Fifth Parliament. Therefore, the bill was revived in the Sixth Parliament, the parliament that we're in now. Now, what you've said, Chair, and I tried to chat with you, but you didn't see that. Is this is wrong to say that we dealt with the bill before? Today is the first time we are dealing with the bill as the Select Committee in the NCOP. The bill was not dealt with by provinces. If the bill was sent out to the provinces, that is the process that happens when the bill is referred to the NCOP. The bill is being sent out to provinces to take note. They have to wait for the bill until we refer the bill to them after our committee dealt with it. Now, the decision to divide the provinces was done in the WIPS and the programming committee where I said I don't agree with the process. But let's not go into that now. What I'm trying to say is we are getting the presentation from the department today for the first time. We haven't dealt with this bill yet. So the province is listening to this presentation in the same way that the committee is listening to this presentation. So this, the assumption that we dealt with the bill is wrong. I'm sorry, I don't know where it comes from. Then secondly, I want to raise a question before we start. This is very important. I received the presentation and a lot of other documents. But I would like to know where is the B bill. I haven't received the bill per se, plus the mem. We received a report from the portfolio committee that we can take into consideration because that was not what what serves before us. What I want to know is where is from the portfolio committee, actually not from the National Assembly, to say this is the B bill with a memo and say, and the following amendments has been done to the bill. I would like to know before we start, are we dealing with the bill as we received it from the index? Are we dealing with a bill that's coming from a department where they put in that are not there, were not there, because we went through the thing like that in the previous time and that bill got blocked in the NCOP. So, unfortunately, I'm so sorry, but we have to clear these things out.
No, thanks, Honorable Cathy. Your question that you have posed, the department will answer those questions when they present. Honorable members, the department must answer when they present.
No, Chairperson, sorry. On a point of order. The department.
What is the point of order, Honorable Kathy?
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Kathy? What is the point of order?
The point of order is the department cannot answer these two questions that I raised from this is the committee. The department is giving us the input on what they wanted in the bill or the bill as they see. They cannot comment on the process of the bill. We are now the bill makers. This is the committee's process. The table staff, the legal opinion, or the processes of the LCOP. What is going on here? The department cannot tell us, cannot come and tell us why the province is joined, first of all, and the department cannot tell us where what bill it is. Can Oscar please give us an indication on if with what bill are we dealing? Is it the bill as we received it from the NA, or so this input from the department, is it on that bill? Has there been another process involved as well? Because a lot of time lapsed between when the bill was referred to the NCOP and the university. Thank you.
Yes, honorable member.
Thank you, Robert Chairperson. If really the bill lapsed in the previous administration and it's being resuscitated, the department is briefing the select committee, that is the beginning of the process of the bill.
Honorable DM, we can't hear you.
Honorable Chair.
Yes.
Can I start, Chairperson?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chair, and morning to members of Parliament and also to provincial delegates. And I heard that Falga is also amongst us here. Yes, indeed, Chairperson, most of the questions and concerns have been raised with regards to what does our people benefit out of this amendment. It is an amendment to the National Forest Act, which was promulgated in 1998. Therefore, I'm joined by the ACDC and also the ACDC responsible for forest management in the department, because you are aware that our DG, is no longer with the department from the beginning of the month, that is from the first, which is yesterday. Chairperson, the department is responsible for the management of forests in the country. And this mandate is backed by the National Forest Act, the Act that we are talking about today, which was first promulgated in 1998, as I have already indicated. The purpose of the Act is to promote sustainable management and development of forests for the benefit of our citizens. It provides special measures for protection of certain forests and trees, and to promote the use of forests for environmental, economical, educational, recreational, cultural, and health purposes. It is the responsibility of the department to create a comprehensive regulatory framework through policies and legislation to improve sustainable forest management in the country. Many poor people and vulnerable groups that are located in the rural areas rely on agriculture, forests, for their livelihood. Chairperson, the DPG will take us through the amendment on this piece of legislation, all because that can be raised by yourself. I think it will be responded to by the presentation that Mesile Susan is going to take us through, who is then supported by the acting DPG. Okay, then it's Isham is here, who will also support students select. And I think the member is correct by the issue of the processes followed after the act has been presented to the National Assembly. Because when we presented a briefing to the National Assembly with regard to amendments to the Act, they do all the processes and add whatever they want to add. And then after the department has done that, the National Assembly approves it, then it says that then it will then take it over to yourselves. So what we are presenting here is what we presented at the National Assembly. There's nothing new that we have added, unless there was something that they requested us to add, but this was approved by the National Assembly. Therefore, we are correct by coming to you and say that you also then follow the process that you are supposed to follow. I thank you very much, Chair. I think Susan will just take us through then the piece of legislation, and then we'll then respond to questions that members might ask at the end of the presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM, for clarifying us. Now I'm going to give the acting DG to present.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. It's the acting DG, Isham Abada. It's actually the acting DDG for Forestry, Mayor Leseke, who's going to be doing the presentation for us, Honorable Chair. Chair, are you hearing me?
Yes, acting DG. You can proceed.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister. My name is Murunga Susan Leseke, the current Acting Deputy Director General for Forestry Branch. I'm accompanied by my colleague, Mayor Phumeza Odada and Nhlamulo Shilubane. I would prefer that we skip this first slide. This is the outline of the presentation. Let's go to the next slide. And this we are trying to say, these are the lexicons or terms that are used in the bill. We can go to the next one. The purpose of this presentation is to brief the committee on the National Forest Amendment Bill, B11 of 2016, which seeks to amend the principal act, that is the National Forest Act of 1998. The main objective of this is to promote sustainable management and development of forests and provides for the protection of certain forests and trees. Next slide. Why was it necessary that we amend this act? We recognize that there is a need for change and that the legislation is not static. It has to move with time. And during the implementation of the principal act, we identified the need for improvement on existing sections. We also wanted to make the legislation more responsive to the operational realities and challenges on the ground. Next slide. The objective of the bill is to provide for clear definitions. For an example, we had natural forest, which was not clear, as well as the definition of woodland. The second objective was to provide for ownership of the national of the nation's forestry resources, to increase the promotion and enforcement of sustainable forest management, increase the measures provided for in the Act in order to control and remedy deforestation, especially during these difficult times of climate change. Next slide. It is also to provide appeals against decisions taken under delegated powers and duties. It's also meant to reinforce offenses and penalties and to promote equity by including the youth, women in the National Forestry Advisory Council. The council powers is to advise the minister with regard to issues that are related to forestry all sectors. The next slide. This is the process followed. Maybe it will provide some clarity. In 2012-13 financial year, we went out for stakeholder consultation. The publication of the draft bill was gazetted in May 2013, as per that above government gazette notice. And in March 2015, it was published for public comments. Then we went out again for stakeholder reconsultation in 2014-2015 financial year after the then portfolio committee saw the need for us to broaden the consultations. The next slide. The consultation with government structures such as NESWELL was done in the then Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. We also had to go through the pre-certification of the bill by the state law advisors. We engaged the Department of Public Monitoring and Evaluation for the socio-economic impact assessment. If I may pause here, this socio, the CS as we normally call it, begins to address the questions that the Honorable Chairperson asked in the beginning to say, is the bill implementable? Will it benefit the poor? Is it economical? If it doesn't pass this, we wouldn't even be here where we are, Honorable Members. The bill was also introduced to Cabinet in April 2016. It was referred to the Portfolio Committee of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries in May 2016. Next slide. The publication of explanatory summary of the National Forest Bill in the Government Gazette was, in terms of Rule 241, was done in the National Assembly in July 2016. Another publication of the public comments and hearing to the by Portfolio Committee was done in August 2017. Next slide. We had various deliberation on clauses of the bill when we were doing the stakeholder consultations, especially when we were doing them with the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and that led to this recognition, and the bill was then adopted for further processing in May 2018. The bill was tabled in the National Assembly in August 2018. As we speak, according to how our knowledge, it is now currently in the NCOP and has been publicized for comment in on December 6, 2019 until 24th January 2020. Next slide. So this, Honorable Members, and this are clause-by-clause analysis of the gaps that we identified and what the current bill will seek to address. The clause one, there's an insertion on definition under Section 2. The new insertion then begins to propose amendments. That is, in terms of assignment, as it was in the, as it is now in the bill, it means permanent or temporary transfer. Under A, a power, duty, role or function from the functional domain or national government to one or more provincial governments, organs of state to persons who are not an organ of state. Proposed amendment again is in Roman figure B, in B, the administration of matter listed in Schedule 4, Part A of the Constitution. The gap, it is to assist in the interpretation of terms in the Act. This is a new insertion when it comes to the assignment, which was not, currently not defined in the principal. Next slide. We had an insertion on the proposed assignment, that is appeal committee, which means the committee constituted in terms of Section 57A2. The gap is that to assist in the interpretation of terms in the Act. The next slide. We also, in the current provision, we are taking into account the definition of natural forest means a group of indigenous trees whose crowns are largely contiguous or which have been declared by the minister to be a natural forest under Section 7.2. The proposed amendment that we are looking for is natural forest means a group of predominantly indigenous trees whose crowns are largely contiguous in its undisturbed state, which may represent any successional state, stage or state of forest degradation, in which case crowns may not be contiguous. It may also mean those natural forests which are in association with characteristic plants or animals recognized in vegetation science. Kindly do not blur, the presentation is blurred. Okay, which occur in association with characteristic plants or animals recognized in vegetation science as diagnostic species of a specific natural forest. And the last one is which have been declared minister to be a natural forest in accordance with section 11.2. We intend to broaden the definition of a natural forest, which is the gap that we have identified. Next slide. The next inclusion was the definition of woodlands, which means a group of indigenous trees which are not a natural forest, but whose crowns cover most or more than 10% of the area bounded by the trees forming the perimeter of the group. The proposed amendment is that woodlands means a group of indigenous trees which are not a natural forest, but whose crowns cover more than at least 5% of the area bounded by trees forming the perimeter of the group they occupy, and which may, in a degraded state, have a crown less than 5%. What we are trying to address here, the gap, is to simplify and broaden the definition in order to cater for situations where woodland may be degraded. The next slide. There's a new insertion here where we are inserting a public trusteeship of the National Forest Resources in terms of Section 2A. The proposed amendment is public trusteeship of National Forest Resources. The national government is the public trustee of the nation's forestry resources, acting through the minister, must ensure that this resource, together with the land and related ecosystems which they inhabit, are protected, conserved, developed, regulated, managed, controlled, and utilized in a sustainable and equitable manner for the benefit of all persons and in accordance with the constitutional and developmental mandate of government. Okay, the next slide. Then there's a clause amendment to Section 7. The current provision of Section 7, no person may cut, disturb, damage, or destroy any indigenous living tree in or remove or receive any such tree from a natural forest except in terms of license issued under Section 4 or Section 23. The proposed amendment is cut, disturb, damage, or destroy any indigenous tree. Any indigenous vegetation in a natural forest and or possesses, collect, remove, transport. We are broadening the issue of Section 7. Transport, export, purchase, sell, donate, or in any other manner acquire or dispose of any tree. So this is the gap that we are trying to plug in. And then the one under A, or any other indigenous forest vegetation or any product derived, we are extending it to products instead of live trees only. The next slide. Next slide. A new insertion under subsection 5, still on Section 7. We're trying to, if a person is in breach of subsection 1, the minister may, by written notice, inform that person of the breach, of the nature of the alleged breach. They may inform them of steps the person must take to prevent further damage, to redress the said breach, and the period within which they must take those steps, in addition to any fees in terms of Section 63.2. We are trying to provide for the direction to rectify or to give teeth to the section in terms of any breaches. Next slide. The next slide, the new invitation deals with if a person failed to comply with the directive within the period determined under subsection 5b, Roman 15, then he takes reasonable steps to remedy the situation, to recover consequential damage or cost from the person concerned, or approach a competent court for relief. So the gap here, we're trying to provide for the steps taken in order to ensure that non-compliance is as derived from Section 7.5. Next slide. There's a new insertion under subsection 8.3, which deals with a person may not conduct any activity in a protected area which is inconsistent with the conservation, recreation, or any other management objectives of that area, except under a license issued by the minister in exceptional circumstances that may be determined by the minister. We are trying to prohibit any activity in protected areas in terms of this insertion. The next slide. There's now an amendment to Section 14, subsection 6, which deals with the minister may issue a written order to immediately terminate the felling, that is the cutting, the mutilation or destruction of an individual tree or group of trees, if he or she has reasonable grounds to believe that such a tree or a group of trees may qualify to be declared as A, protected in accordance with Section 12A, and then B, until such time that a notice in this regard is publicized in the Gazette, according to Section 14.2. B, a controlled forest area in accordance with Section 17. The gap here is to provide Minister with powers to stop or terminate activities that relates to cutting of trees that may need to be protected while we are still conducting investigations. Next slide. The next slide deals with an amendment to Section 15, subsection 3. The minister, the current provision of the Principal Act, the minister must publish A, a list of all species protected under Section 12, an appropriate warning of the prohibition referred to subsection 1 and the consequences of its infringement annually in Gazette and in two newspapers circulating nationally. What we are proposing is that the minister must, by notice in Gazette, in two newspapers circulating nationally, publish an appropriate warning of the prohibition referred to in subsection 1 and the consequences at least every 5 years, or publish a change that has been effected in the list contemplated in paragraph A in the Gazette and in two newspapers circulating nationally. We're trying to minimize costs for compliance, promotion annually through publication or declared national list of protected trees. The next slide. There's an amendment to Section 16.1. The current Principal Act deals with a particular tree or group of trees or woodland to be protected under Section 12A. The minister may request the Registrar of Deeds for the area to make an appropriate note. The proposed amendment, where the minister has declared a particular tree or group of trees, woodland or a state forest or part thereof, to be protected under Section 12A and 8 respectively. We're trying to provide for registration with deeds office when a state forest or part of it has been declared to be protected, in this case, Honourable Members. The next slide. Thank you very much. Another amendment is in relation to Section 17.2, which deals with, in the Principal Act now, if the minister is of the opinion that urgent steps are required to rehabilitate a natural forest or a woodland protected under Section 12, which is threatened with deforestation or has been deforested, he or she may declare it a proposed amendment. If the minister is of the opinion that urgent steps are required to rehabilitate a natural forest or woodland which threatened or is being deforested, he or she may declare it a controlled forest. The next slide. We also look into amend Section 17 with new insertions. The proposed amendment, Section 17, Subsection 13C, the minister may declare a controlled forest area and due agency of the institution, the minister may proceed with the declaration without consultation with or affording a prior hearing to any person, but as soon as reasonably possible after the declaration contemplated in Section 17.3. The minister will afford a hearing to any affected person. Roman figure 2, minister may must consider any representation received such consultation or hearing. The minister must vary or cancel the declaration concerned. So, honorable members, the last Roman figure 3 is on a shaded area. I was struggling to read it. The gap is the minister with emergency powers to declare controlled forest area in order to prevent continued deforestation. Example, most of the time the forest is deforested prior to declaration. The minister may be allowed to declare, you know, to prevent further deforestation. The next slide. We have another addition that is in terms of subsection 17.14. There's a new insertion. If the minister is of the opinion that the owner failed to comply with the notice issued in terms of subsection 3 and 4, he or she may take reasonable steps to remedy the situation, to recover consequential damages or costs from the owner of the person, or approach a competent court for appropriate relief. We're trying to provide the minister with powers to issue a directive in case of non-compliance. The next slide. It deals with to insert new subsection, that is subsection 24. It deals with no person may engage any prospect in mining activity in a state forest except in terms of an existing lease agreement or any other valid contract, or B, an applicable legislation. The gap that we are trying to address is to prohibit mining activities in state forests in order to promote sustainability within the forest. We are all aware that we are steadily losing forestry land and agricultural land in state forests. Land. The next slide. We want to add the youth and women silent on some of this inclusion or members. We try to include youth and women in the council, the National Advisory Council, that is constituted by the Act to advise the minister. Next slide. amendment to Section 35(4). Current provision, members of the council are members of a committee of the council who are not in the full-time employment of the state and may be paid for the services except for attending council meetings. The proposed amendment, Section 35(4), members of the council and members of a committee. The committees of the council referred to in Section 36, who are not the full-time employment of the state, may be paid for their service except for attending council meetings. We are trying to make sure that those who are appointed to the National Advisory Council are paid. This, we are trying to include both of sustainable forest management and forest access. Next slide. This amendment to Section 35. The current provision in terms of the minister must determine the remuneration and allowance payable to members of the council. Members of the committee of the convention and allowance payable to members of the council, including those of the subcommittee. We are trying to address the issue of remunerating National Forest Advisory Council members when attending council meetings. Out of up to 10 for both fine and such imprisonment. Honorable members, here we're trying to strengthen our enforcement and to make sure that we deter non-compliance with the provisions of the Act. We have an amendment of Section 58, Subsection 8B, which deals with for any offence in terms of this Act, may suspend or revoke a license granted to the offender under Section 7 or 23. The proposed amendment for any in terms of this Act may suspend or revoke license granted to the offender under Section 7.
I am sure we'll continue to work hard.
We're trying to strengthen enforcement
together
again
to
here,
assist
which
one
previously was
in ensuring
dealt
that
with under Section
finally we are at
15
level
in terms of protected
zero.
Trees, which was
or level
excluded.
One, but whichever is normality.
Next slide.
Today we are going to deal with some few issues, and I want us
next
to be
slide,
frank, upfront, and ensure whatever we are going to contribute in today's
then there is an amendment to Section
is actually in the best
61,
interest
which deals with
of
any
all
person who fails to take the steps which he or she has
all
been instructed to take in terms of Section 4.8
on our
within
agenda,
the period or the extended period
we'll
laid
have three
down
items.
Is guilty of a fifth category offense
relating
to protection of forest
by
and
the
trees.
Department on
the proposed amendment any person who fails to take the steps which he or she has been instructed to take in terms
and
of Section
of
4, 8,
the last meeting.
Section 7, subsection 5, Section 8,
the
subsection 3,
today.
Section 14, subsection
let me hear
6, and Section 17, subsection 3,
the
within the period or extended period laid down is guilty of a fifth category.
Hey, there were no apologies.
Trying to provide for new offence in respect of non-compliance with instructions to
okay.
both Section 7, subsection 5, both subsection 6, and Section 17, subsection 3 of the
fighters,
next slide.
Okay. Let me take this opportunity.
We have an amendment to Section 62
to allow
one,
the
three,
department to brief
which
us
deals with to strengthen enforcement and ensure that amended provisions under Section 7 are catered for. The proposed amendments are in terms of Section 2, C and Roman Figure 1. In subsection 3, 62.1, any person who contravenes the provision of certain acts in relation to trees, indigenous vegetation, or any other forest product in natural forests referred to in Section 7.1 is guilty of third category of doing this in order to strengthen enforcement, ensure that the amended provisions are also catered for. The next slide.
2019-20 has been a year that has been an active year in the department.
Thank you very much. The amendment still relates to Section 62, subsection 1-3. Any person who contravenes a prohibition of any other provision in a notice declaring all forest area under Section 17(3) and Subsection 4 is guilty of a second category offence relating to the use of forest. The proposed amendment, any person who contravenes a prohibition or any other provision in a notice declaring a controlled forest area under Section 17, Subsection 3 and Subsection 4 is guilty of first category. Once again, honourable members, we have been observing the non-compliance and, you know, citizens not taking the provisions of the Act seriously. We're trying to strengthen the enforcement part of the Act. The next slide. It's amendment of 63. Any person who contravenes a condition, a license, exemption, or other authorization in terms of this Act in any protected area is guilty of a second category offense. B deals with in any other forest is guilty of a third category offense. The proposed amendment, any person who contravenes a condition in a license, exemption, or any other authorization in terms of this Act, in respect of A, protected area, natural forest, or protected trees, is guilty of second category offense. That goes for B as well. So we're also trying to strengthen our enforcement by including the natural forest and protected trees. The next slide.
That we came across, which was before.
We continue with amendment to section 65, which deals with number 65A, the Director General may designate posts in the department or in any provincial administration or local authority whose incumbents are first officers. Appoint any other suitably qualified forest officers. And this also deals with the general powers of forest officers.
Obviously, we are in the first quarter of financial year 2020.
By ensuring that the appointment of forest officers can take place whether at local government, and we're also trying to make sure that there are different gradings of forest officers depending on their ranks. Next slide. The implications of the bill, honorable members. The mandate of the National Forest Act as listed in Schedule 4 of the Constitution. This causes the bill to be tagged as a Section 76 bill in terms of the Constitution. The proposed amendments, honorable members, are aimed at strengthening the provisions for promoting sustainable forest management and not to change the current administrative processes of the functional areas listed in this form. The proposed amendments will not affect the current provincial mandate with regards to management of forests. The Principal Act already has various mechanisms to promote the use of forests for the benefit of all. This has not been affected by the proposed amendments, honorable members. The next slide. Thank you very much, honorable members, and Deputy Minister and Acting DG. I think I'll pause here and we'll take questions.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. DM, do you want to add anything before I can give you the member?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to Acting DG. I'm sure, Chair, the presentation responded to most of the questions that you alluded to in your opening remarks. I also agree with Susan that we'll just wait for the questions from yourself. I have a question from the Forest Branch. which is led by DG Jusileke, of which that they will also assist in responding or giving clarity on some of the issues that may be raised by members of parliament. Thank you very much, Chair.
No, thanks, DG. Now, honourable members, we are going to ask questions, but we are going to follow this route. We are going to take this route. I'm going to call one rep from Eastern Cape, one rep from Western Cape, one rep from Gauteng, Limpopo, Northern Cape, Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga will be from the provinces will be the last one, and I'll call a member of the select committee, Honorable Arnold. Can I repeat it again, or you are fine, honorable members from the provinces?
We are fine.
Yes. The first round, it will be 10 members, and then the second round, it will be 10 members. All the members, you are going to speak.
Greetings to you, Honorable Chair. Yes, my name is Fundisile Bese, chairperson of the Portfolio Committee for Rural Development and Agrarian Reform, Eastern Cape. Greetings to you, Honorable Chair. Greetings to all our members, as well as the staff at large. I was quite happy when the President alluded to the rural constituency. If you want to sustain any development, you must put rural constituencies up front. The issue that I'm trying to bring into your attention, Honorable Chair, the issue of the community forest. Community forest can assist many people, especially in the rural areas, especially during this climate change and disaster. It can also address the issue of the drought, whereby forests in the rural areas can attract rainfall, can also deal with drought by attracting rainfall. Therefore, Chair, I'm trying to say, I commend the presentation. It was quite clear, but I didn't get anything in connection with community forest, which is supposed to be taken to the rural area. Thanks, Honorable Chair, very much.
From Western Cape.
Thank you, ma'am. It's Honorable Van der Westhuizen. No question at this stage. Thank you.
Honorable member from Prestige.
No, thank you, Chair. We are content with the presentation itself. I think it has covered quite a number of areas which we've identified them as gaps. So far, I think it has covered quite a number of areas which were of a great concern to us. My name is Chablan Khadebe, the chair of the committee. Thank you.
Honorable Khadebe. Honorable member from Gauteng.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Busiwe Pinky Mnube, a member of the Portfolio Committee. I have in terms of the network and the protection and the licenses. The constitution allows the constitution respects the national beliefs, religion, and whatever. So let's say my ancestors are waking me up and say, "Go to this place and cut what we want, and then come back." Are you then saying that type of
how do I apply? So we need to also look into that area of, because we now are like undermining that practice. So it is allowed in terms of the constitution. So I want to know, to say, would then be regarded as guilty of transgress and all those things. I think on the representation in the advisory committee, given what I've just said now, I think there is an omission of the people with disabilities. If you instead women and youth, we are leaving out the people with disabilities, also the military veterans. In the representation, given what we said, we must not be against what we against the Bill of Rights, where we say we recognize the practice, and where they are supposed to be practicing, then we'll be guilty. So, in terms of the advisor, why also the representative of the traditional healers? Because their complaint is that even go to other countries, Zimbabwe and wherever, because our country has that rigid legislation. Thank you
very much, honorable member. Honorable member from Limpopo.
Thank you, honorable chair. Ronald Slam, the chair of the portfolio committee. We want to commend the work of the ministry and appreciate, and want to say we are clear at this stage in terms of the presentation, and we're looking forward to participating in the process as it unfolds going down. We want to appreciate with those viewers. Thank you.
Thank you. Northern Cape.
Thank you. I think nobody is speaking. I think we are not all in the committee is joined. We just to welcome the presentation. I think we must all recognize that we only have this one planet, and but help us. I think we must support the bill. Thank you, honorable chair.
Thank you, honorable chair. Honorable member from KwaZulu Natal.
Chairperson, my name is Samson Chengu, the chairperson of the portfolio committee from KZN. We perhaps must welcome the present commission as state as it is, believing that we still have some stakeholders, perhaps as like the case with Gauteng. We have quite a number of stakeholders in the forestry industry, as well as furniture makers. We will have to then give our detailed report, having interacted with all the relevant stakeholders, accepted. But as things stand now, we do welcome the presentation, and we look forward to further consultation with our stakeholders so that we give input to the comprehensive outcome of the bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Now we will follow by Bokoni Buphirima, Honorable Chair. Bokoni Buphirima. Northwest, he's still there. Honorable Nkopane, he's still there. Okay, Northwest, it seems. There is a problem. Let's go to Mpumalanga.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Chairs, the Chair of Chairs, and the Scopa Chairperson. Chairperson, we welcome you the presentation, and the bill, according to us, is in order, and it addresses so many flaws that we have in the legislation. Honorable Chair, I also appreciate the money. I also appreciate the manner in which your bill is the mandate of different stakeholders and the different spheres of government. And I must ask a question, Chair, on the activities in the first areas. Where do we put traditional activities that are the practice of the traditional leaders? And also the traditional leaders, I think we need to something that in comment about. And Chairperson will participate in the processes as a province and take the matter forward with our constituencies. Thank you very much. And I must thank the DM also to clarify us in the beginning of this process. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair of Chairs. Honorable Anol.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me also thank the department for giving us a brief of the proposed amendments, which is very welcome. Let me just say that in the past, the economic, social, and environmental benefits of forests have been distributed unfairly. That was in the past, and I think it's important that we need to strengthen the bill further with the proposed amendments. And let me just say that it's very welcome that we that the proposed amendments will not affect the current provincial mandate, and I think that is an important one that we know, and we are assured that the provinces won't be affected by the proposed amendments. Chairperson, let me just also just say the proposed amendment of section 23.4, and we know the destructive nature of mining in some of our forests, and I think that one is a needed one and a long overdue one, that we need that amendment that no person may engage in any prospective mining in forest. Then I just need the department just to give us more info in terms of the hours of the forest of officers in terms of section 65, the amendment. Just a brief in terms of the powers and the levels of the qualifications and everything that was also put in. I think it was also one of the concerns that was previously raised when the bill went to Parliament, the strengthening of our enforcement. I think that is a very important one, but I think the department can just give us a brief in terms of the qualification criteria and the determination of the levels and everything. But I don't have any further questions on it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Arnold. Honorable from Northwest, are you still there? Northwest? It seems they are not there. Okay. Let me put Honorable Bibi.
Thank you so much, Chair. Greetings to the DM, Acting DDG, and also delegation from different provinces, and speaking from my province, from KZN. And thank you so much for the detailed presentation. Chair, I've got some questions here where I would like to know from the department, public consultation, a bill indicated significant support for improved forest management, but major distrust of the DAFF. Forestry management officials. Even people supporting the bill were unhappy with the competency of staff and stated that current legislation is not properly enforced. Then I just want to check with the department how how is it going to plan the implementation of legislation and regulations? Question number two, Chair, it will be department inherited the bill from DAFF. Is a public consultation process that has taken place with the bill new, or did DEFF retain past consultation outcomes? Many individuals that responded to the committee's request for the input of the bills stated that there was not sufficient consultation. Point number three, Chair, there was significant support for the need to expand indigenous forests through reforestation and to limit forestry activity to sustainable level. Now, how will the department balance these opposing targets? Like the, as the forestry sector needs to be sustainable, but climate change targets require massive reforestation efforts. Again, Chair, what community upliftment and business development opportunities can the department identify where reforestation efforts are suggested for land belonging to previously disadvantaged communities? Linked to the question above mentioned, how will the department improve on management of commercial forestry projects handed over to previously disadvantaged communities? These were poorly supported and most are failures. It puts the department in a bad light and is part of the reason why management of the forestry department isn't as problematic. I thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable BB. And now I'll give to Honorable Kathy.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity. I would like to know from the department the proposed amendments that we dealt with now. Are those the amendments that has been done by the National Assembly in the Fifth Parliament, or are these amendments that the department offers at the moment, or is it a mixed presentation? Then, of course, the new proposed 2A section, where they are, I would like to know the whole question of trusteeship and public trusteeship, and why actually in the Principal Act there's no uncertainty that the minister is the sole trustee of this act. Some clarity about the board of trustees and the relationship there, because I think when this bill is going out for public participation in provinces, out of the public participation that we got as a committee, there's a lot of uncertainty around this, and I think it needs to be clarified so that the public understands what they comment on. The same thing with the whole idea of sustainable utilization. What is the bill's intention when the bill speaks about sustainable utilization? Because my interpretation of sustainable utilization might be different to somebody else's. Is there a set of criteria? Is there a policy? Is there something in the department that will be able to help the public to understand when they have to comment on sustainable utilization, the same as and also to the committee. Then on clause section 7, on section 7 it's about the destruction and of indigenous forests and so on. And I would like to know, because that is came from the public participation processes from in a previous term, clarity from the department side, into consideration. The Supreme Court case that in September 2017, and why didn't they take decisions of the Supreme Court into consideration in the amendment of this clause. I just need some clarity myself on amendment section 16 about the whole thing about registration of title deeds and inclusion of protected areas and that just when this bill is going out to provinces, the way it's been written here, I don't think anybody out there would understand and would be able to give comment on that. Just clarity on what it will be like, clause. Because I think it will be to the benefit of communities, but they need to understand what the benefit would be why that clause would be brought in. Then also, what did I write here? Section 37, the meets of the extinction of the council, included here the extinction of time from 2 weeks to 1 month. I just don't follow that. What does it really mean? So there was a limited time that the council could assist or consult the minister, and now it's going to 1 month. Is it really just what I see, or what is the practical implication thereof? And then sustainable forest management. Again, it's the whole bill is one of the aims is to improve sustainable forest management. My question is, within this bill, is there an existing policy within the department to say, when we put all these in, there will be sustainable management? Because you cannot make a law, in my opinion, it's very difficult to put legislation there and say you have to adhere to this, but when the competency within the department and the staff and all those people in the department who have to oversee this to make this happen is not there, you can have 700 bills, it won't happen. Somebody else also asked about the appointment of the forest officers. I just want to know at this stage, how many forest officers do we have, and is there a sort of a description of their jobs and kind of thing? Because I personally don't have a problem that there must be various levels. Now, I hear that the presents it that this bill will make provision that the Director General can ensure that there's forest officers on local government level and all that kind of thing. My problem with this is, in theory, it's wonderful. In practical terms, local government is struggling at the moment with all the everything that they have to deal with the budget that they have. After COVID-19, municipal, local governments will even struggle more. and then to say that the director general on a provincial level can decide that local government has to appoint, for instance, five people, and this is the kind of what they should do, and most probably what the salary scale is. And will that be a sort of a decision that the director general takes, and the local government must just adhere to that, or what kind of powers does the director general really has in doing so? I think this is for now the first set of questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Jesse. Now I'm going to call Honorable Ntube. Honorable Ntube. Honorable Ntube. Not there. Honorable Nana. Honorable Nana.
I'm here, Chairperson.
Yes. Do you have any points? Questions? Clarity?
No, Mr. Chair, I think Honorable Gardner has largely covered what I wanted to raise. But allow me to raise a concern. I know you have made a ruling, but allow me to make to raise a concern in the manner in which an objection by Honorable Smith was raised. I really do think that it's about time we should be considerate and be welcoming to defending this future.
Thanks, Honorable Nana. Your point is taken. Before my Honorable Matibe, Northwest is back. Northwest? Not there. Honorable Matibe, you're not there. Honorable Matibe? Honorable Matibe?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to you as well as the DM and the department and the delegation from our provinces. Firstly, I would like to welcome the presentation by the department. It was able to clarify quite a number of issues. I'll just raise some issues on, firstly, on Section 34. I think in terms of the composition of the council, I fully agree with the view that we need to look into inclusion of quite a number of other stakeholders. Because in terms of dealing with the issues of forests, you realize that you have got your traditional leaders, your traditional leaders. So if we put youth and women, we must be considerate of the forest that is under traditional leadership as well. So that is one area that I think we should look into, and I'm sure different provinces have got different setups in terms of stakeholders. They will be able to go and engage on the matter and be able to make inputs. The second issue is on section on development of powers. I think it's one critical area.
Honorable Matibe, you will come on the next round. Let me give another honorable member. You will come.
Okay.
Okay. Let me give Honorable Smith. Honorable Smith. Any member from any province who need to do any follow-up again?
Honorable Chair.
Yes, Honorable Member.
Honorable Pillay from HMK.
Yes.
Can I ask? Okay. So thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and like everyone else, we appreciate the report. Just few clarity-seeking questions. One on Section 32, where
a small scale has been given to the communities for farming. And because it's a land issue, is the act or the amendment, is it clarifying clearly that how that proportional land will be distributed? Secondly, the issue of the farm forest. Since the introduction of the bill, always there was that worry about the people living in the farm forest and also the community conserved areas. I think directly the bill is taking care of that. But somewhere it is actually said that we need to protect the indigenous knowledge system within that. But there is no much deviation from the principal act to the current amendment. Is the act really covering that area which has been proposed? And lastly, on section 47, where the minister can actually give a competent authority to deal with it. I think this particular item is good enough, but there is also a loophole there because when the minister is to give, remember that the three spheres, the national, the municipal, the provincial one, I mean, will explicitly explain how this will be given out, because the moment, if it is not thoroughly being explained or well clearly being narrated, there is abuse of power which can lead to the deforestation. Yes, we can see that certain areas of the act is actually trying to curb on it, but that particular area is not well explained, and we may not get a time to amend soon, because remember, this has been almost 9 years, 7 years. So I think maybe they can give a clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable.
Yes, I just wanted to say that as a seller, we are usually going to participate. Hello?
Honorable Mr. Tongwani, I'm so sorry. I was about to give the saga. Sorry. Yes, you are welcome. You can post a question because as a we oversight on province, national, and local. That's why you are asked to be part and parcel of our meeting. I'm so sorry.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. As a sir, welcome the presentation, and we are also going to input in terms of what has been presented today. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Tongwani, Honorable from Swalga, Honorable Matibe. It's your time now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The other item that I wanted to input on is on the assignment of powers. I think is welcomed. I think what will be important is that whenever there is an assignment of power to either province or local government level, it must also be accompanied by the funds, so that whatever assignment of powers must not be an unfunded mandate to another sphere of government. I think it's one area that I think we should also be able to look into. The issue of forest officers, Chairperson, I think we welcome it. Like it is also, if it is to be assigned to local government level or the province, national must be able to not only assign powers but also assign resources that will also cater for that. The last thing to contribute on is on public participation after our engagement and the report that we received. I think we should be able to look into the way in which we deal with that public participation, so that we are not found wanting in terms of the law in relation to public participation, bearing in mind the Mamusa judgment. I think it's one area that we will need to look into it, to say how do we assist our provinces to reach different stakeholders. How, as the community, do we ensure that indeed participation happens before we finalize the report? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matibe. Honorable Ntume, I can see you are in the meeting. Do you have any questions? Can you? Honorable
Chairperson.
Yes.
No, I don't have any question, Honorable Chairperson.
Oh, you are covered.
Yes.
Thanks. Honorable Ngwenya. Let me give back to the department, Honorable Deputy Minister and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks very much to the members of Parliament and the provincial delegates for the comments and the support. On issues that has empowerment, as raised by Honorable Bibi. I have taken note of most of the things that have been said, especially with the composition of the National Advisory Council that has to do with the forest, National Forest, and advisory of both Minister and Deputy Minister with regard to forestry in the country. I will then ask the acting DDG to respond to some of the questions that have been raised. And also maybe during her response, she must also try to explain on the issue of the management of the forest, especially as per the white paper of 1996, to address some of the weaknesses. There are some organizations that has been given a mandate to do with issues management of the forest, your MTO, your SRAPI, your MONDI, your SACOL, your AMATOLE, of which she will also then explain the role that we are playing as the department. Chair, I then give over to my team. DDG, I know you are not alone. You have some of the officials that deals mainly with the federal issues that has been raised by members. I'm expecting then you to assist them in trying and respond to most of the questions and that has been raised by members and yourself. Thank you very much, Chair. Can I request Mr. Lege then to respond to some of those questions?
Honorable Chair, GM.
Yes.
Honorable GM, it's Isham Abada, the acting DG. Chair, I know ministers asked that Susan and her team respond to the question. We have been having a bit of difficulty in terms of connection, so some of the questions we may not have caught all of the questions. So I'm going to ask Susan to please respond to the questions that she did manage to note, Chair. The ones that she didn't note, Chair, can we request that we do a written response to the committee with regard to those questions, please, Chair?
No, thanks, so that even the provincial legislators, they must receive those questions answered.
The state for us.
Thank you, Chair. Susan?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you, DG and Deputy Minister. Our sincerest apology, we couldn't get some of the questions, but we'll try our level best. Let me start with the issue of which the Deputy mentioned about the management of commercial plantations. Some of the commercial plantations, Honorable Members, that we see across the country have been leased out to the private sector. Some in 1991. So the state is left with certain plantations which we are still managing. But I will go straight to the questions that were raised. The questions, Honorable Members, we appreciate them because they begin to demonstrate the interest and the importance of this bill. And this is not the first time. As you would have seen when we were presenting, the process followed. We started in 2012. What we are observing is that Honorable Members have so much interest in this bill, and we have even told ourselves that we're going to rush anything. That is why there has been the reconsultation at the request of the Portfolio Committee members and at times by the NCOP. So the first question that I noted was, it was not a question by Honorable Arnold, the issue of the destruction of forest. Yes, we are taking a strong stance with the proposals. The second issue was the power of the forest officers in terms of Section 66. The powers of the forest officers will be outlined in the regulations. We've got the old regulations, but now that we are proposing this amendment, we're going to also enhance or beef up the powers so that they're in line with the current bill. There was a comment from the Honorable Member from Northwest in terms of the public consultation that took place during the time of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. The question was, how are we going to improve the implementation of the legislation? Honorable Member, if you have noted, we are trying to strengthen the part of enforcement, which has not been the case in the past. We put forward this good legislation, but we have been not putting much emphasis on the compliance and enforcement. And with this amendment, we are trying to strengthen that. There was a question as to whether did we retain the previous consultation? I could get the end of it. Yes, we did retain them, and some of the amendments that. We're simply referring to the fact that the forest should not only be a jungle, it should meet the following criteria. It should be economic. It should also make sure that socially can benefit people, and it must be environmentally, you know, beneficial. Those are the three principles of innovation. We thank you, Honorable Labaskahn, for the question on consideration the Supreme Court. As of September 2017, we'll look into that. for now I cannot see whether we have taken that into consideration. There was also, most of the honorable members made reference to the composition. The advisory council. Honorable members, what used to happen is that in the previous council, normally the term of office for the advisory council is 3 years. The previous term, we had traditional leaders, but we people with disabilities, to include the military, traditional healers, and a traditional leader. I must say, in terms of, there was a question from Gauteng in terms of the composition, to say, do we cater for the use of medicinal? It could be for religious, for traditional, for medicinal, and recreational. It's many uses. And maybe one thing is making sure that communities are aware of all the different uses of sorry for the silence. I am trying to check some of my questions that I could manage to grab. There was the issue from the honorable member from Northwest about balance, reforestation and deforestation. The department has got a program that we call greening. When we do greening, it's trees outside commercial forest. When we talk reforestation, is what happens in a commercial setup. It involves the art of planting commercial trees. But what we are doing to augment or to balance is training. There is no need here. We just heighten our activities around September, and that is why across all provinces we then have what we call the Aberman. How far the department is of planting trees. We know that it's not only about planting trees. We have strategy greening include fruit trees, because we were cognizant of the fact that we need to advance the issue of food security. I am not alone. I am with my colleagues here who will assist where I might skip some of the questions because of the connectivity problems. I will hand over to Pumeza.
Good morning to the Deputy Minister, good morning to the Honourable Member, good morning to the HND. I need another paper. Just to maybe deal with the issue of our role as a department to the plantations that we have leased out to the four companies. What we do on a day-to-day basis is the lease agreement that they have signed, and then look at how they are dealing with the management of the forests in that in the lease agreement, and then we do the monitoring based on those undertakings that are listed in the lease agreement. In this regard, what we try and do is to make sure that each and every year we go out and check if the area that they are managing them in the right manner.
So we would then do records of that and redo the mappings if they need to remap, and also make sure that they consult with the communities that are around them.
I think, Chairperson, the other issue was related to the how the Forest Advisory Council, we are trying to in the time for them to respond to the minister after their meetings, because we realize that in the past years, when the council met, because they are engaged in the other institutions, and because they are nominated in most cases by different institutions and organizations, or by a couple of small growers, because sometimes have to go back and get information from the people from their constituencies, then they would need more time to try and make sure that whatever they are discussing and they have agreed on is in line with what the people they are representing would want. And then so that when they write to the minister, it's a response to the minister that is a beefed up, but also that represents the people that they are representing. So 2 weeks was just a bit of a problem, because then they fail in terms of complying with that part of the legislation.
I don't know what else have we not covered.
The grading of forest officers and their powers.
She referred to that. Okay. Yeah, she has referred to that. Okay.
I think we have covered all more issues, but as the acting DG has indicated, what we'll do is the other issues that we haven't managed to capture correctly, we request that we do a formal write-up that will then try and address those. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, with your permission and indulgence, can the DG maybe did they hear the question on the public trusteeship? Sorry, Chair, the reason why I think we need clarity is affordable go out to the provinces. I think there's a understanding of certain, or there might be a misunderstanding or a different interest from the public side, and maybe it will be good for us to have the department's idea of what a board of trustees or that kind of things are, so that when the public comment can explain to them beforehand. So otherwise, a lot of information will come in and it will be, we will be able to utilize. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, if Honorable Labaskahn can repeat the question on trusteeship, please.
Okay. Now, I'm asking and say that in the new clause, the new 2A, where there's also, we put out the bill in December, as you've seen, for public comment. And a lot of people raise issues around public trusteeship, that they don't trust it, and what does it exactly entail, and that kind of thing. So my question is just to clarify from the department side, is do you see how it's been working at the moment, but how this clause changed that, and what kind of improvement you think from the department side this clause will in the end result in?
Hello, do you get the new question? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. We're trying to check, look up in the presentation that the Honorable Member is referring to so that we can respond.
Maybe I can assist the Honourable Chairperson. I'm admit that I'm not an expert on the bill or on the functions of the forestry branch. But what the amendment proposes, Honourable Chair, is that the national government is the public trustee of the nation's forestry resources. Are you hearing me, Chair? Okay, and then the minister acting on behalf of the government has to then ensure that the resources, the forestry resources, together with the land and the related ecosystems which they inhabited, are protected, conserved, developed, regulated, managed, controlled and used in a sustainable and equitable manner for the benefit of all persons and in accordance with the constitutional and developmental mandate of government. So I think the idea is that it makes it peremptory for the minister to ensure that the resources are protected and that all the land and the related ecosystems also are protected, conserved and so forth. But it places that responsibility specifically on government through the minister to actually ensure that the constitutional as well as the developmental mandate of government is carried out. I don't think that gives you enough clarity, for Lovers Sakhi.
Okay, just through you, exactly. Now, what I'm trying to get to is when this bill went out on public participation, people will know more about forestry and bills than I know. Interpret this as there must be one kind of form of trusteeship, although the minister is the trust, the sole trustee, and it's the responsibility of government to make sure that all those things that you've listed there. But how is it going to be done? Will that be solely in the hands of officials, or will there be board of trustees, or that kind of thing? And that is what this is unclear, because it's impossible for the minister and all the staff in the department to control each and everything on grassroots level. So what kind of form of management or structures are they going to be to make sure that this is happening? Now, the public just interpret that as there will be a form of public trusteeship. We need to clarify this to them when the bill is going out to the provinces so that they have the right idea. Otherwise, we're going to sit with pages and pages of comments that we're not going to use.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Kathy. Because we are dealing with a legislation, we have our legal advisors here. Can the legal advisors from national parliament and from other provinces, can you assist us? This is a legislation. We must have clarity on it. From the department, legal team, legal advisor team.
Thank you. It's Linda Kalip. I'm the chief director for LORI from the Department of Environmental. Chief, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm Linda Kalip. I'm the Chief Director for Law Reform and Policy Coordination from the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. The principle of trusteeship is not uncommon. We have it also in the Biodiversity Act, and it is how the our acting DG described it. It's more it's more how government and the minister, when they exercise function, they must remember to help the nation's forest resources. They are given the trusteeship over the nation's forestry resources. So it's more how you exercise your powers and functions in terms of the act. It does require a trust to be created, or but it's more how we exercise our functions measures against this principle that is introduced in the Act. We find it also in the Biodiversity Act, in the National Environmental Law, the National Environmental Management Act, and in international legislation. So it's quite a common provision to have in terms of natural resources. But it's about the measure, how you exercise your powers, your functions in terms of the Act, rather than the creation of a physical trust with members and authorities and everything else.
Thank you, legal advisor. Now, department, are you fine to have answered the questions?
Chairperson.
I feel. Honorable.
There's only one last one, and that is just for clarity. The section on the title deeds and I have to go back now there. I raised that and maybe they didn't hear it. Amendment of Section 60, registration and title deeds and that kind of. Just give us a little bit of an explanation, but on a practical level, that will what does it mean?
Yes, thank you, Honorable Kathy.
Thank you.
Honorable members, before I go back to the honorable members, Honorable City Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks a lot, Chair.
Do you have anything to add?
No, Chair, I don't have anything to add. I think my team is their best to respond to most of the questions that have been raised by members. I also agree that if there are some questions that they couldn't then hear when they were posed to them, it will be better if that questions can be in a written form. Because it's not going to help when they say that they are going to give responses in a written form if they did not hear the questions. So it's better if they've given the questions so that they can respond in a written form. But otherwise, Chairperson, thank you very much. I think everything that they responded to is what I had on my side.
Okay. Honorable members, do you have any follow-up questions? Honorable member, from the provinces, do you have any follow-up? Yes, honorable, I know that you, honorable Kathy. Honorable members from the provinces, do you have any follow-up questions?
Yes, we are covered.
We are covered from. Okay. Honorable members from NCOP, do you have any follow-up? Except I noted honorable Kathy.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry, I'm back to a question that has been answered. I just want to make sure and then ask the chairperson that the committee did around about that when we're done with the presentation. And that is the question, and the department said yes. I asked the question whether these amendments are the amendments that came from the National Assembly, as they accepted it, or if it is a mixture of amendments as the Assembly accepted that, and new amendments, proposed amendments for the department, from the department, and she said yes. I just want to make sure that I do understand that correctly. Is that a mixture, or is it only the bill as it has been amended by the Inet? And then we can deliberate on the processes forward in the committee.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Kathy.
Chairperson,
yes, ma'am.
With your permission, it's Kumelele Ngema, the legal advisor from Parliament.
Yes.
Perhaps may I just take the last question and maybe add some on the other one in respect to trusteeship.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
The first question, Chairperson, I'd like to address is the one in relation to the processes and the content and the extent of the bill. The bill that is supposed to be before the committee is the B version, which means it's the bill that has taken into the proposals and the suggestions and amendments that were dealt with in the portfolio committee and passed and adopted by the National Assembly. So it's supposed to be the B version, which will be 11B of 2016. That means all the proposals were proposed by the portfolio committee have been put into the bill and have been passed by the And then, Chairperson, in respect of the second question that I asked to dip into, in respect of the that perhaps the minister follows when looking to the issues of trusteeship. I know in the portfolio committee we did address an example using the Ingonyama Trust and the Act thereof. There are a number of trusts that others are legislatively established or others are established as per agreement. For an example, if you look at Section 45 of the Principal Act, there is another method in which the minister could be utilizing looking into the issues around trustees and trusteeship. And I hope that does bring some assistance, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, legal advice. Honorable Kathy.
Sorry, Chair. Thank you very much. I think that helped a lot from the legal advisor on the trusteeship. And she explained about the B bill is the process how I do understand it. Although the member from the department said when I raised the question, and I said, is it new proposals as well as amended proposals? She said yes. And the reason why I'm asking this is we all know that this bill has been with the Department of DAF and is now with the fisheries came over to the Department of Environment. We just have to make sure, because this bill has been in around for quite some time, that we don't mix up some processes in the NCLP. So if there are new proposals from the department side, we need to know that so that we can sort out how to handle that. So I know this is the process, but we as the committee members sitting here, I did not receive the bill, the B format of the bill, with the letter or the memo that's normally coming from the NANC. This is the format of the B bill, and we've amended the following sections. We got this from you in the department this morning, and I trust that you're saying, but this is my job. This is what I have to ask as a member of parliament, taking the responsibility to give the input in this process. So can you please get the B format of the bill and the referral from the NA saying what they ended? Thank you.
I think for now, every member, all of you, you are fine with questions. What I will ask here from the department, because some questions were not answered, Honorable Deputy Minister, I will request the department to write the answers and bring back to the committee. Not later than next week Tuesday, so that we can send all the answers and questions to the provincial legislature, to SALGA, so that we able to deal with this bill. So, Deputy Minister, I hope you have all the questions. I don't request from our secretariat, Mr. Bao Aska and Mr. Fuoba, you must assist with questions, because some of the questions the department didn't get them. You must assist and give
again, I will ask the provinces or the members of the Black Committee, if they still have questions, they must put in writing and send to Honorable, Mr. Kuovas and Afra, so that they must send to the department for getting the answers from them. I hope I'm understandable, Honorable Deputy Mayor.
Yes, Chairperson, we do understand. That's why I said it's better if we can get a written question. The ones that members say there is, I mean, my team said that they're in here, so that we can respond accordingly. Chair, can I just say something on the issue that has been raised by Kathleen, that's MP Kathleen, yeah. And that's the one more question. With regard to what she raised about what is the input or what has been agreed upon by the National Assembly vis-a-vis the NCOP, I'm trying to remember now myself as head, and I had an opportunity of chairing the committee for test. I know that the role of the NCOP is not just to endorse everything that comes from NA. They have a responsibility to scrutinize the legislation, so that if there are issues that they don't agree with them, sometimes you'll hear that a legislator will remind me. I think when I was the chair of this committee, JJ was one of the issues that we used to insert as NA, and the NA would agree upon. But when they came to the SOP, NCOP will then say, no, we don't agree with 1234, and then they send the legislation back. I just want to attend to the issue that has been raised. I'm trying to understand. Okay, we are not just going to endorse what the NA has agreed upon. It's our responsibility, role as members of the NCOP, to make sure that everything that is contained in that piece of legislation is what we think that is going to be implementable when it comes to the provinces. I just wanted to raise that, Chair, that if we come across something, even if that something has been endorsed by the NCOP, has got power to send that legislation back in order for it to be corrected. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, if I may, please. Chairperson, are you hearing me? Chairperson, are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry. I know my network, it was bad. But now
No, no problem, Chairperson. Chairperson, we note you've given us until next week Tuesday, but you haven't given an indication in terms of when the final questions will be submitted to the department. You've asked members to submit additional questions and also for the secretary to send their questions. But can you give an indication when that will happen, so we can just plan in terms of when we have to respond, Chair? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Acting DG. What I'll say, the questions must be sent to the department from today until, Tuesday. Yeah, today is Tuesday. We are giving members until tomorrow. Members?
You have to play by the rules. Criminalizing the rules.
We are giving members until tomorrow afternoon. Let me take this opportunity to thank the department. But before I thank the department and the DG and the DM, I would like to emphasize this issue. You must not forget the issues that was raised by other members from other provinces. The to include the leaders, traditional leadership, to include traditional leaders, to include women and people living with disabilities. We must not forget to include them. And then the issues of time frame for the forest officer. Before it can get out to the community or where, the community must be given an opportunity to see the power. What are the powers to the, those officials? And then, Deputy Minister, I want to tell you, I want to ask you for this trust, because there are a lot of trust that government has established. But at the end of the day, government establish those trusts, but they don't monitor, and then they check whether all what is happening there is it aligned with the legislation. Please make sure that you monitor them from time to time. We don't want to see it failing like other trusts, or misusing funds, or misusing power. That's what we are asking you to do, Deputy Minister. Monitoring is very important. With this few words, I would like to thank all the provincial legislatures, reps, all the departments led by the acting DG, and to thank the Deputy Minister and all honorable members for the Select Committee for participating in this meeting. It was for the first time we hold such a meeting, but fortunately it went well. Didn't expect that because it's for the first time to expect that a meeting will be able to reach consensus or able to reach every body from the province, rural, and from the local to national. And members from Talca, you are welcome also to ask questions. Submit your questions to Mr. Power by tomorrow. You're welcome. Thank you very much, ministers and the provincial legislators and the department. You are
Thank you, Chair. Thanks a lot.
I pass the members to the day. The members of the committee remain for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Members of the select committee, you are requested to remain for 10 minutes. The department with please leave the meeting without any noise. Department and all the provinces in the meeting without making any noise. How many members did they call?
Oh, there are still 54. Please, we still have the
We still have the members of the provincial legislators. We are 52 now, I see.
Yeah, we're just waiting for everybody to leave.
Okay.
Excepting the committee members.
Members, then we allow the members of the
Thank you. Well, members, can you live with me?
Why is the cause?
The host of the meeting does not mute everyone on the group.
Okay.
It has muted everybody. And I'm removing people that don't belong to the committee.
Okay, I didn't know Honorable Smith because I seen a cap. I didn't know him. Oh, Honorable Smith, you have changed. Cap. Okay.
Yes, Chair.
Oh, I didn't know. I was about to say, please, Honorable Member, leave. Not knowing that.
No, you can't chase me away.
No, I didn't know. Okay, sorry, Honorable.
Yeah. Well, the sun in Asia.
Oh, the sun. Okay, no, understand. Honorable members, please remember the committee now. Staff. We are 18. Akka?
I'm going through the list, ma.
Akka?
There are still some people from outside. I'm removing them.
Remove them quickly. We don't have now.
Right. They've been removed.
Okay,
you are 16. Or you say, or to 15.
Can we start? Are you sure it's only the members of the committee?
Correct, and officials.
And officials. Okay. Honorable member?
This is tech session, common mode.
Honorable member?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair. There's someone speaking in the back on you.
Oh, please make sure that we must hear the background. Okay, thank you. Now, members, I request to adopt, and before we adopt him. Did the members receive the minutes for the 22 of May?
Yes. Yes.
And then the minutes for the 26th?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Now I put in front of you the minute 23 for opting. For adopting members?
Move for adoption, Chairperson.
Honorable Matibe, move for adoption. Honorable members, Blindi, Nana, and Honorable Matibe, and then the minutes for the 22. Honorable members, I put in before you the minutes of the 20th of May for adoption.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable.
Can you just take note? My apology for that meeting, please, of the 26th.
Okay.
Can you just note my apology for that meeting, please?
Oh, yeah. Oscar?
I want
yes.
Another meeting.
Okay, I will amend. Adopted with amendment. It's no problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Now I put in front of you the minute of the 20 for adopting members. Honorable members.
I move, Chair.
Honorable Matibe, move. Any seconder? Any seconder?
I don't know whether I was there. No.
I was there. I can't.
I'm not quite sure whether I was I there.
No.
Was I there?
Let me check them.
Mangwenya, Mr. Matibe, Ms. Modise, Ms. Lapiskachni, Mr. Klute.
Okay.
Mambifi.
Okay.
Mambifi was apology. Mambifi was an apology.
I remember.
Mr. Matibe, Ms. Modise, Ms. Lapiskachni, Mr. Klute can second it.
Thanks. We must don't forget
sorry,
to write questions for today for tomorrow.
Chairperson, there's still the report, the budget vote report from DMRE.
Chairperson, before that, can you give me a minute?
Yes, Honorable Nana.
I don't recall me being absent in last week's meeting. And from what I can gather from AFGA, my name is on the list of names.
Okay, I will add it, and it will also be adopted with amendments. No problem.
In myself, I know that Honorable Nana is always in the meeting.
He was.
Yeah, please.
Thank you very much.
With the minutes, you must be careful, because sometimes you will miss a member. So you must not do that. Next time, make sure that you capture everything. Okay? The report for the minerals, 22. The report for the 22nd, Oscar.
Yes, Chair.
It was the report for the minerals, but I put in front of you or adoption. I post for... I put in front of you for adoption, member.
Chairperson, I'm not sure. I think there is one meeting that I could not attend. I'm not sure if this one or that other one.
No, Mr. Matibe.
Yes, I know the Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Matibe, move.
I can't. I don't go.
Umambidi was there on the 22nd.
That's correct.
Oh.
Okay. Thanks.
Oh, the report has adopted.
Yep.
Anything that is remaining, Aska?
No, Chair. We are up to date.
Chairperson.
The only thing that is remaining is question for.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Chairperson, there's still a request. I would like to get the report from on the B bill as we received it from the NA, because I heard the input that we as the input. The same process that the previous parliament went.
Yes.
The department is the custodian of the bill. They want to change this bill, or we want to make a new bill, whatever. Then they start the whole process. With a green paper, and a white paper, and a gazette, and then. And then the moment that the department gives that bill to the parliament processes, parliament got the custodian of the bill. First of all, it's the NA. When they amended that bill and they adopted it in the House on the second reading, they sent the bill in an amended form to the NCOP. Now the NCOP, our own public participation, on what we decided, and the bill has to go out to the provinces. That bill can only be amended by those purposes. This bill cannot now be amended by the department. The department cannot amend the bill in the process halfway between the two houses. Now, I asked three times about the question. I still don't have clarity. Because when I raised the question, the department person said, yes, it is amended from the NA as well as amend proposals from the department. She said it loud and clear. So I asked again, I want clarity on that. Then the legal advisor came in and she answered. And she gave, but didn't say what is the right thing. And the only way that we will know the right thing is for the report to get it. And you know, all of you know, the people who know me will know that I will get that report. So let's get our processes right. Because we do understand that environment. If there are new proposals that the department decided they should take on board, in spite of the fact that they did not do so, then we must just make sure that those proposals come through the public participation process in the province. Because I think there are a lot, there were some valid proposals made to the portfolio committee that was not taken into consideration, that we should take consideration. Let us just assure that we do it by the right process. That's all that I'm interested in.
And then
also I think when do we determine the dates for negotiating mandates and so on, or is that what you do as the chairperson? Thank you.
Honorable Kathy, I don't deal without the members of the portfolio committee. I'm just chairing the committee. I'm not
the portfolio committee. No, chairperson. I'm disappointed.
No. Anything that is happening in the committee, members of the committee must be aware. I'm not going to do anything alone. Honorable members, Honorable Kathy, we noted this, all the point that we have raised. After you write them so that we can give to the department, we need answers on that. Members, we take this opportunity to thank you for participating in this meeting, and you must remember to the sitting today. Go and prepare yourself for today's sitting. I thank you for participating in this meeting, especially when we are dealing with the legislation, because the legislation is a guiding tool for us as the members of parliament. And as you said, Honorable Kathy, we are the captain of the legislation. Yeah. I thank you, members. This is adjourned. Thank you very much.